But this study is on the Epistle of Ephesians, and it talks about the Christian's wealth, all of our blessings that Christ has given us, and a walk in Christ. All the things that we should be doing in our lives to make sure that we are walking with Christ and do as he would do. Okay, as we get into this book of Ephesians, it's obviously in the New Testament, and the Testament is divided into four different categories, which you all know. On the left, you see the Gospels are Mark, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. History is Acts, and the epistles, and there's 21 of them, but you can see that Paul wrote 13 of them, and there's 8 more epistles that are just general epistles, and then there's the prophecies, the prophecy book, that being Revelations. And I generally go through a study. I kind of like to get a time frame in my mind when this was happening, what was happening in other places in the world during this New Testament time. And you can see the Gospels there. You know, Mark was written, looks like, sometimes between 55 to 65 AD, then Matthew 58 to 68 AD, and Luke 60 to 80 AD, and then Acts, the history of the church and the establishment of the church was written 61 to 63. And then we can go over to the epistles. Instead of going through all of these, you can see on here the epistles, when they were written. And also, you notice down at the bottom, the Epistle of Ephesians was written sometime 61 to 82, and as it says, the prison epistles. Ephesians is one of the prison officials. The time period in the New Testament history, it's kind of a broad spectrum of the development of the church, and you can see down in the bottom of the later development of the church, AD 60 through 90. Well, that could be AD 60 through 2020. But looking back up at the top, in AD 1 through 30 was a preparation for the church, which was the life of Christ, and that's covered in Matthew through John. This church was established between AD 30 and AD 60, and that is covered in Acts through Philemon. Then the bottom part again, the later developments of the church, which is covered in Hebrews through Revelations. And as I scroll through here, I haven't fine-tuned this, and I see a blank screen there, so I'll go on to the next slide. Maybe that's going to cover it for me. The title of the book is Ephesians, and it's referred to as Ephesians in the following, all the verses you see there, and take up a lot of time. What I could do is go through and read all those, but you know, that's not productive. The authorship of the book of Ephesians is talked about in Paul, and it's talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and 3, verse 1, and also in 3, 8, and 13. And us also list talked about in Ephesians 4, 1, and Ephesians 6, 20 through 22. Paul was a very busy man, as I discovered throughout this studies, and the life that he had during his ministry was very definitely not a pleasant one. He faced more hardships than what I think I could endure at that time. The recipients, the saints that are in Ephesus, and that's listed in Ephesians 1. And what I would like right now, I'm going to ask Carol Lee to go get my new King James study Bible, because some of these verses I'd like to read. And the Paul gave this epistle to Tychicus, and he delivered it to the city of Ephesus. The date that Paul was writing this was, again, AD 60 through 63, and Paul was in prison in Rome at that time. Now I'm just going to read this because I hadn't seen it for quite a while. It says that the occasion for this writing, Paul used this time in prison to remind the Ephesian Christians of two very important truths: the spiritual wealth in Christ, all our blessings, and the spiritual walk in Christ. That's how we conduct our lives as we try to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Paul may have heard of the conditions in Ephesians from Epaphras and was prompted by the Holy Spirit to write to them. The literary style, it was a letter written by Paul. And when this letter was written, again, it was given to Tychicus to deliver to Ephesians. But also, I feel that this letter was also meant to be read throughout the area of Asia Minor, in the seven churches in Asia Minor, and also in the churches in Macedonia. Here is a map of Paul's second missionary journey, and on this map you can see that it started in Jerusalem as he went north up through, stopped in Antioch, Tarsus, then Derbe, Iconium, Antioch, Troas, Philippi, Berea, Athens, Corinth. Then on his way back home, he stopped off in Ephesus. And during that period of time when he was in Ephesians, he established the church there. And there's Paul's third missionary journey. When he was in Ephesians the first time on his second missionary journey, he did a lot of teaching and established the church there. But he had to depart. And with that, he went back to his home city in Antioch. That's where his home congregation was. But in this third missionary journey, when he returned to Ephesus, and at that point, he saw that there was some dissensions in the churches in the area. And so he spent quite some time there with some of his fellow apostles and others who knew of God's will, and they spread the word in that area also, and correcting some problems that they may have been having. And then Paul's fourth missionary journey is probably his last one. It started in Caesarea, where he was in prison and was transported under the guard of the Roman soldiers. And he sailed, you can see the path that he sailed to Myra, Lisa, and then his shipwreck in Malta, and finally got back underway and went to Syracuse, and then went all up the coast of Italy, and finally ended up in the city of Rome, where he would write the epistle of Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippi, or Philippians. And as you read those other letters, it's pretty convincing to tell that the same person wrote those other epistles also, because of the similarities that appeared in them. And I especially noticed that when Ted was teaching Galatians, he would enter into an territory that I was going to talk about. And I thought, well, you know, wait a minute, Ted, you know, that's my category. But anyway, he did a fantastic job in presenting Galatians and the similarities of those books definitely do exist. And this is the seven churches in Asia that seem to get a lot of print in the Bible. It's the churches that Paul and the other apostles did visit. Okay, here's the Acts, pretty much covers most of Paul's life, if not, well, it's not all of his life, because it stops at AD 70, and Paul was still around in AD 70. But as you go down through here to highlight some points, right at the very top, you've got the ascension of Christ. And Pentecost was in AD 30. Stephen was the first to be martyred as a Christian, and he was martyred in AD 34 through 35. Then there was a great persecution led by none other than Saul at the time, but we know Saul also by the name of Paul. And in AD 38 through 40, on his road to Damascus, Paul met with a frightening sight to him at that time. He was blinded, and Christ sent a person, and I can't think of his name right now. If someone else knows his name, could you speak up and mention it? Or let me ask this. I think you're all hearing me, but am I able to hear you? And if you'd like to say something or ask any questions or make any comments, please let me know and I will open the mic to you.
Yeah, we can definitely hear you, Charles.
Okay, and I can hear you guys talking back. So back to my last question. Who was that met Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, on the road to Damascus, and escorted him on into Damascus? Some of you Bible scholars, come on, hurry up, get it. But we'll move on. And then in AD 47, Paul started his first missionary journey. And Paul started his second missionary journey in AD 51. And then Paul started his third missionary journey from AD 52 to 53. And you can see from AD 47 to AD 52, when he started his third missionary journey, is only 5 years. So Paul covered a lot of ground during that period of time and met with a lot of hardships. And then in AD 53, Paul went to Ephesus. And in that time in Ephesus, he set up the church there. That was, I believe, on the second missionary journey, but being looking at the dates here, it may have been his third missionary journey when he was doing more teaching there, when he saw that it was needed. And then Paul was arrested in AD 58, is imprisoned. And then on AD 60, he began his Rome voyage. And then in AD 63, Paul was released. Paul travels some more in AD 63 and 65. And down here at the bottom, it lists the date that Paul was martyred, which I feel that he was, in AD 67 or 68. So I guess this did cover most of Paul's travels at that time. And then Jerusalem, it was destroyed in AD 70. This is a graphic of what they think the city of Ephesus looked like. You can see in the upper right-hand corner is the temple of Diana Artemis. And more importantly, Ephesus was a major city in the Roman province at that time. They were the second largest city in Rome. They had a population of approaching 250,000, which is at least maybe twice the size of Springfield and Eugene put together, which is a good number of people. But you can see on here the harbor where the ships would come into and deliver goods, and then they could carry them back out to the GNC, which you can see on the lower right-hand side, was right there next to Ephesus. And this channel being available made Ephesus an important economic city to Ephesus and also to Rome. This is the theater in Ephesus, and it said that it seated 50,000. I don't think that's quite as big as Autzen Stadium as a comparison, but if they filled that theater like the Duck fans fill Autzen Stadium, you know, this theater would be very crowded and pretty much uncomfortable. This theater was used for many things. You can use your imagination to guess what some of them were. The gladiators would fight in that theater. The gladiators would fight each other, and then also they'd have where a lion or a wild beast would fight a gladiator or someone else that they had had in prison. And also this was a very idolatrous and morally corrupt city at the time. And also they would have huge orgies in full view of everybody there. A very disgusting thought, but things like that helped move on the corruption that existed in Ephesus. And you can see why Paul felt that he had needed to get back to Ephesus to set some things straight. some key words in this book. Riches is used in pretty much the first half of the book. And again, reviewing the things that God has blessed us with. And we'll go into this verse by verse when we get done with the introduction and cover those things a lot more. And walk, beginning in chapter 4 and going to the end of the chapter, is how we conduct our lives with Christ. It gives us instructions of how we are to walk. Another key verse is Ephesians 2:10, which summarizes the theme of the Christian wealth and the walk in Christ. An outline of the book, as we just kind of covered, chapters 1 through chapter 3 talks about our blessings, and chapter 4 through 6 talks about the conduct of our life while we are here on earth. And to talk a little bit about the wealth that we are given is we are children of God, children of Christ, and we have the wealth of redemption, the possibility of redemption through Christ. We have a wealth of resources, the wealth of regeneration to live our life anew, and the wealth of reconciliation. We can go to God and ask for forgiveness of our wrongdoings. And we also have the wealth of revitalization. When we are baptized, we are given the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit does help revitalize us in many ways. And in the second half of the book, we are to walk in unity. We are to be in agreement with one another. I realize that when you get a large group of people together and study something like the Bible, there can be some small disagreements, but these disagreements have nothing to do with our salvation. They can be on other things, and these disagreements should not and cannot cause problems within the church. We must stay unified in what we are trying to accomplish. We're to walk in newness. We have been regenerated with the newness after baptism of the Holy Spirit being given to us. We are to walk in love. We are to care for one another. And we walk in light. And as we walk in light, we should project ourselves as Christians by the way we conduct ourselves. And we are to walk in wisdom. Wisdom comes with time. We gain knowledge, a lot of knowledge, but the application of that knowledge is wisdom. And walk in the Spirit that Christ has given us. We walk in subjections. Christ is the head of the church, and we are in subjection to him. We are to mimic his life as close as we can. And as I think we all know, we sometimes err and we misstep. And when we do that, we can go to God for ask forgiveness of that. Walk in obedience. You know, do as what Christ has shown us and told us. And then in chapter 6, we are to walk in warfare. It's I kind of hesitate to say our walk here on earth, there is warfare. You know, there is with our nation and everything, but our warfare is fighting the Satan things that he's trying to get accomplished in this world. And then in chapter 6, 21 through 24, it is the benediction. There's five elements generally found in Paul's opening salutations, greetings. One, Paul generally identifies himself as the author, and he identifies the recipients, the churches, and the individuals. Three, he identifies the divine persons, God and Jesus Christ, and he identifies the divine work that Christ and God did for us, the cross, the resurrection, and the hope in life. And number five, he identifies the divine blessings that Christ has for us, the grace, peace, and mercy. Grace, we all know, is, you know, unmerited favor. And I read a large section on that, which I won't read to you guys because it would take up probably the rest of my time. And the one in there that I am really glad for, the grace that God gives us, but the peace, especially at times like this, we are looking for peace in our hearts, worrying about what may lay before us. But God has given us instructions how to handle that worry. And we are to lay all of our problems on him. And like the song says, God will take care of us. We need not to lean upon our own understandings, but follow God's word. Okay, this is back to the Apostle Paul. I realize a lot of this is on Apostle Paul, but we try to relate it to what's going on in Ephesians also. And in Acts 9, 15 through 17, it says that, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he has chosen, so he is a chosen vessel unto you, to bear my name before the Gentile kings and the children of Israel. For I show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he definitely did suffer. And Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, Paul, brother Paul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to him on his way through, on the way which through camest, he sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I read through that, I noticed the name Ananias, and I suspect that Ananias is the one that met him on the trail to Damascus, and led him to Damascus and gave him back his sight. Okay, the Acts 22:14 through 21:21, and he said, the Lord of our Father hath appointed thee to know his will. Thee, referring to Paul. God guided Paul on his journeys, and the purposes of all the suffering that Paul did under God's control could lead me to speculate on many things, but when you start trying to guess what God was thinking. You're making a big mistake because you won't be able to do it. And also Paul says is to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. He said unto me, depart. And as I theme my screen here, I noticed that bottom of it is cut off, which I paid no attention to it initially because I wasn't planning on using this slide. Okay, Ephesians 1's lesson for the day. Preaching the gospel and converting souls is a new area, may involve great obstacles, great oppositions, great opportunities, as well as you have those oppositions that you face. You need to fight through them with God's help. And with that will come great opportunities. What kind of obstacles, oppositions, and opportunities do Christians face today while trying to preach the gospel? And as I ask that question, is there anybody who would like to respond to some of the oppositions that we face during our time?
You know, Charles, it seems important to me to remember that the opposition that I face in America is very different from the opposition that people face in some countries, where for preaching the gospel, you're thrown in prison. People have been killed for preaching the gospel. And I am very grateful that I live in a place where I don't face those things.
Amen. Any other comments? Okay, I see we're approaching 12 o'clock here. And this must come to an end, I think, by 12. That's how much time we have reserved on Zoom. Yeah. I'll read this last paragraph here. Maybe it's not the last. It says, Christians are not apostles, but they are still commissioned by God to preach the gospel today. How are Christians commissioned by God to do the Lord's work and work today? That's covered in Acts 8, 34. And I won't go to that and read it because I'd have to open my Bible and that takes up a little bit of time. Maybe we'll cover that on next Sunday. Christians in the local church are to live as saints, holy, set apart from the world, and faithful, meaning trustworthy and dependable. How can Christians demonstrate to God and to others that they are saints and faithful? I think I'll answer that, and with this answer, I will close my commentary and go digging for the one that I lost. And how are we to demonstrate to God and to others that we are saints and faithful? That's by the way we lead our lives. There's many out there that know that we are Christians, saints of God, and they either know it or they can identify that we are by the way we lead our lives and how we talk, and that we are faithful to God. So by the way we lead our lives, people can identify that we are saints and faithful. And with that, I will end my commentary on Ephesians, pick it up next Sunday. And do we have any closing comments by anyone?
My only comment would be to remind everyone that the recording of this is available, and Jerry can help you find that recording so that if you would like, you can listen to this again.
Again, I apologize for my lack of good housekeeping on my computer, but that kind of follows true with my good housekeeping around the house. I put something down and go do something else, and I come back and I try to find what I put down, and I can't find it. I think many of us have that problem. I know that Carolee and I do. So again, thanks for listening. I hope this was helpful to you and wasn't too much of a distraction, not having the slides up there that I wished to have. So with that, I'll close.